Good morning, Mishpacha. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. I'm Laura Densmore, your host, and I'm so glad you're joining in with me today. Journey with me through the entire Bible in 1 year, focusing on the biblical calendar, the Sabbath, the feasts, and the Torah reading cycle. In this broadcast, you will be listening to 2 days of readings from the Scriptures. If you would like to listen every day, just go to dailyaudiotorah.com and listen in. We have many voices, interpretations, and points of view out there, but there is nothing like listening to the crystal clean, pure Word of God in your life. It is living water for your spirit. As it is written in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now let's continue our journey through the entire Bible in 1 year.
Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchut.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Numbers 29:1-20. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a sacred occasion. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall observe it as a day when the shofar is sounded. You shall present a burnt offering of pleasing odor to Hashem, one bull of the herd, one ram, and 7 yearling lambs without blemish. The meal offering with them, choice flour with oil mixed in, shall be 3/10 of a measure for a bull, 2/10 for a ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. And there shall be 1 goat for a sin offering to make expiation in your behalf. In addition to the burnt offering of the new moon with its meal offering, and the regular burnt offering with its meal offering, each with its libation as prescribed, offerings by fire of pleasing odor to Hashem. On the 10th day of the same 7th month, you shall observe a sacred occasion when you shall practice self-denial. You shall do no work. You shall present to Hashem a burnt offering of pleasing odor, 1 bull of the herd, 1 ram, 7 yearling lambs. See that they are without blemish. The meal offering with them, of choice flour with oil mixed in, shall be 3/10 of a measure for a bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. And there shall be 1 goat for a sin offering in addition to the sin offering of expiation, and the regular burnt offering with its meal offering, each with its libation. On the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall observe a sacred occasion. You shall not work at your occupations. 7 days you shall observe a festival of Hashem. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to Hashem, 13 bulls of the herd, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs. They shall be without blemish. The meal offerings with them, of choice flour with oil mixed in, shall be 3/10 of a measure for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. And there shall be 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. 2nd day, 12 bulls of the herd, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs, in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal, and libations. 3rd day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs, without blemish. Second Chronicles 6:12-8:10. Then, standing before the altar of Hashem in front of the whole congregation of Israel, he spread forth his hands. Solomon had made a bronze platform and placed it in the midst of the great court. It was 5 amot long and 5 amot wide and 3 amot high. He stood on it, then, kneeling in front of the whole congregation of Israel, he spread forth his hands to heaven and said, O God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heavens and on the earth, you who steadfastly maintain the covenant with your servants, who walk before you with all their heart, you who have kept the promises you made to your servant, my father David. You made a promise and have fulfilled it, as is now the case. And now, O God of Israel, keep that promise that you made to your servant, my father David. You shall never lack a descendant in my sight sitting on the throne of Israel, if only your children will look to their way and walk in the path of my teachings, as you have walked before me. Now, therefore, O God of Israel, let the promise that you made to your servant, my father David, be confirmed. Does Hashem really dwell with man on earth? Even the heavens to their uttermost reaches cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet turn, Hashem, my God, to the prayer and supplication of your servant, and hear the cry and the prayer that your servant offers to you. May your eyes be open day and night toward this house, toward the place where you have resolved to make your name abide. May you heed the prayers that your servant offers toward this place. And when you hear the supplications that your servant and your people Israel offer toward this place, give heed in your heavenly abode. Give heed and pardon. If a man commits an offense against his fellow, and an oath is exacted from him, causing him to utter an imprecation against himself, and he comes with his imprecation before your altar in this house, may you hear in heaven, and take action to judge your servants, requiting him who is in the wrong by bringing down the punishment of his conduct on his head, vindicating him who is in the right by rewarding him according to his righteousness. Should your people Israel be defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and then once again acknowledge your name and offer prayer and supplication to you in this house, may you hear in heaven and pardon the sin of your people Israel, and restore them to the land that you gave to them and to their fathers. Should the heavens be shut up and there be no rain because they have sinned against you, and then they pray toward this place and acknowledge your name and repent of their sins because you humbled them, may you hear in heaven and pardon the sin of your servants, your people Israel, when you have shown them the proper way in which they are to walk, and to send down rain upon the land that you gave to your people as their heritage. So too, if there is a famine in the land, if there is pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, or if an enemy oppresses them in any of the settlements of their land, in any plague and in any disease, any prayer or supplication offered by any person among all your people Israel, each of whom knows his affliction and his pain, when he spreads forth his hands toward this house, may you hear in your heavenly abode and pardon. Deal with each man according to his ways, as you know his heart to be, for you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they may revere you all the days that you live on the land that you gave to our fathers. Or, If a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, comes from a distant land, for the sake of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm, if he comes to pray toward this house, may you hear in your heavenly abode and grant whatever the foreigner appeals to you for. Thus, all the peoples of the earth will know your name and revere you, as does your people Israel. And they will recognize that your name is attached to this house that I have built. When your people take the field against their enemies in a campaign on which you send them, and they pray to you in the direction of the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built to your name, may you hear in heaven their prayer and supplication, and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no person who does not sin, and you are angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and their captors carry them off to an enemy land, near or far, and they take it to heart in the land to which they have been carried off, and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, "We have sinned, we have acted perversely, we have acted wickedly." And they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity, where they were carried off, and pray in the direction of their land which you gave to their fathers, and the city which you have chosen, and toward the house which I have built for your name. May you hear their prayer and supplication in your heavenly abode, uphold their cause, and pardon your people who have sinned against you. Now, my Hashem, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to prayer from this place. And now, advance, O Hashem, to your resting place, you and your mighty ark. Your Kohanim, O Hashem, are clothed in triumph. Your loyal ones will rejoice in your goodness. O Hashem, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the loyalty of your servant David. When Solomon finished praying, fire descended from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Hashem filled the house. The Kohanim could not enter the house of Hashem, for the glory of Hashem filled the house of Hashem. All the Israelites witnessed the descent of the fire and the glory of Hashem on the house. They knelt with their faces to the ground and prostrated themselves, praising Hashem, for he is good, for his steadfast love is eternal. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before Hashem. King Solomon offered as sacrifices 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of Hashem. The Kohanim stood at their watches, the Levi'im with the instruments for Hashem's music that King David had made to praise Hashem. For his steadfast love is eternal, by means of the Psalms of David that they knew. The Kohanim opposite them blew trumpets, while all Israel were standing. Solomon consecrated the center of the court in front of the house of Hashem, because he presented there the burnt offerings and the fat parts of the offerings of well-being, since the bronze altar that Solomon had made was not able to hold the burnt offerings, the meal offerings, and the fat parts. At that time, Solomon kept the feast for 7 days, all Israel with him. A great assemblage from Lebo Hamath to the Wadi of Egypt. On the 8th day, they held a solemn gathering. They observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he dismissed the people to their homes rejoicing and in good spirits over the goodness that Hashem had shown to David and Solomon and his people, Israel. Thus Solomon finished building the house of Hashem and the royal palace. Solomon succeeded in everything he had set his heart on accomplishing with regard to the house of Hashem and his palace. Hashem appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and I've chosen this site as my house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, if I command the locusts to ravage the land, or if I loose pestilence against my people, when my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray, and seek my favor, and turn from their evil ways, I will hear in my heavenly abode, and forgive their sins, and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to prayers from this place. And now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name be there forever. My eyes and my heart shall always be there. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked before me, doing all that I have commanded you, keeping my laws and rules, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, in accordance with the covenant I had made with your father David, saying, you shall never lack a descendant ruling over Israel. But if you turn away from me and forsake my laws and commandments that I set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land that I gave them, and this house that I consecrated to my name I shall cast out of my sight, and make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house, once so exalted, everyone passing by it shall be appalled and say, why did Hashem do thus to this land and to this house? And the reply will be, it is because they forsook God of their fathers, who freed them from the land of Egypt, and adopted other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore he brought all this calamity upon them. At the end of 20 years, during which Solomon constructed the house of Hashem and his palace, Solomon also rebuilt the cities that Huram had given to him and settled Israelites in them. Solomon marched against Hamath-Zobah and overpowered it. He built Tadmor in the desert and all the garrison towns that he built in Hamath. He built Upper Beth Horon and Lower Beth Horon as fortified cities with walls, gates, and bars, as well as Baalath and all of Solomon's garrison towns, chariot towns, and cavalry towns, everything that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in the Lebanon and throughout the territory that he ruled. All the people that were left of the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, none of whom were of Israeli stock. Those of their descendants who were left after them in the land, whom the Israelites had not annihilated, these Solomon subjected to forced labor, as is still the case. But the Israelites, none of whom Solomon enslaved for his works, served as soldiers and as his chief officers and as commanders of his chariots and cavalry. These were King Solomon's prefects, 250 foremen over the people. Romans 7:14-8:8. For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I, Paul, am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the Torah that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more the I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the Torah of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Psalm 18:1-15. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yes, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yes, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. Proverbs 19:24-25. A slothful man hides his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that has understanding, and he will understand knowledge. I'd like to speak to you today from our reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 6 through 7 and 8. And in this chapter, we see this tremendous prayer that Solomon prays to dedicate the temple. And it's just an incredible prayer that he prays. And he's interceding and asking that when people pray at this temple site, he's imploring the Lord to hear from heaven, from his holy place, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant offers to you. Whenever there's blight or pestilence or bondage or oppression, or if his people are scattered and in captivity and exile, should the heavens be shut up and there be no rain, then when they pray toward this place and acknowledge your name and repent of their sins because you humbled them, may you hear in heaven and pardon the sin of your servants, your people Israel. And so he continues on. He says, when any prayer or supplication is offered by any person among all of your people, when he spreads forth his hands toward this house, may you hear in your heavenly abode and pardon. And so there's the centrality of the temple. I believe there's a portal open over the site and the location of where the temple once stood, and that all that remains of that temple today is the western wall. And so the Jewish people throughout history, even when they went into exile, up into Europe and all scattered to all the nations, because of this prayer and the holiness of the site of the temple, because God did reply to Solomon and he said, I'm going to place my name here. I'm going to make my abode here. They will turn and face east toward Jerusalem and toward the temple site because they're praying to that special place where God said he would abide. It goes on to say in verse 32, if a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, comes from a distant land for the sake of your great name, your mighty hand, that's a hint pointing us to Yeshua, and your outstretched arm, if he comes to pray toward this house, may you hear in your heavenly abode and grant whatever the foreigner appeals to you for. So, it's an incredible and a very powerful prayer. And I think in mainstream Christianity, for us non-Jews, we tend to lose sight of the fact that this prayer is dedicating the temple and that the temple is a very special place. And it's a place where God's eye is attentive and focused. His ear is attentive and focused. Now, what happens after this prayer is given is amazing. Chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. When Solomon finished praying, fire descended from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Hashem filled the house. The Kohanim could not enter the house of Hashem, for the glory of Hashem filled the house of Hashem. The glory manifested as a huge cloud. The Shekinah, the Shekinah, the glory of God filled the house. They couldn't enter it. That's powerful. Now, the other thing I want to point out is that immediately after this prayer of dedication and the glory cloud filling the temple happens, Solomon has the people keep Sukkot. So this happened leading right into the 8-day festival of Sukkot, which is in the fall. How do I know? Because in verse 8 and 9, it tells us that. At that time, Solomon kept the feast, that is Sukkot, for 7 days, all Israel with him, a great assemblage. On the 8th day, they held a solemn gathering, and they observed the dedication of the altar, 7 days, and the feast for 7 days. That's very significant that Solomon chose to dedicate the temple at a feast day, at the time of Sukkot. And they dedicated the altar. They went through the 7-day dedication of the altar, which is laid out for us in Numbers chapter 7. Now, I want to zoom in on a verse that a lot of people have memorized. They quote it often. It can be a magnet on your refrigerator. It's a very famous verse. Chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. But I want to start with verse 13, and I want to continue on into verse 16, because that really puts it into framework. That really gives it context, and the context is often lost when you only read verse 14. So I'm going to start with verse 13, or actually I'm going to start with verse 12. Hashem appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, so this is God speaking to Solomon, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place as my house of sacrifice. So that's the context. He's saying, I've heard your prayer, and this place, this temple, is going to be my house of sacrifice. And this is God speaking now. If I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, if I command the locusts to ravage the land, or if I let loose pestilence against my people. Pestilence. Interesting. We've been dealing with COVID for the last couple of years worldwide. Now, we know that the story is that it was engineered in a lab, the Wuhan lab in China, and it was released intentionally, and perhaps that's true. But ultimately, God is sovereign. He's the Most High. He allows things. He orchestrates things. So ultimately, God is the one who's allowed this pestilence to ravage the earth. And here he's saying, if I let loose pestilence against my people. Now let's look at verse 14. When my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my favor, and turn from their evil ways, I will hear in my heavenly abode and forgive their sins and heal their land. But let's continue on to verse 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers from this place. This is a temple-centric mandate, a temple-focused principle. God is saying, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to your prayers from this place. We take verse 14 out of context and we think, oh, let's get together and have a prayer meeting and everybody repent here in LA or San Diego or Washington, D.C. or New York or Chicago or wherever you happen to be. But this is saying, I will hear the prayers from this place, from the temple. Verse 16, and now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart shall always be there. God's eyes and his heart will always be there. Now, does he hear our prayers when we're not at the temple? Of course he does. And he hears and he listens and he answers. But there's something very special about the site of the temple, Mount Moriah, the very place where Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. Mount Moriah, the threshing floor that David purchased. Mount Moriah, the location of both the first temple, Solomon's temple, and the second temple. and where the Western Wall remains to this day. But God also gives a warning to Solomon. And he says to him in verse 19, "If you turn away from me and forsake my laws and commandments that I set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land that I gave them, and this house that I consecrated to my name I shall cast out of my sight, and make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house, once so exalted, everyone passing by it shall be appalled and say, 'Why did Hashem do thus to this land and to this house?'" So the temple has been destroyed. The first temple, Solomon's temple, was destroyed and burned to the ground on the ninth of Av. The second temple, which never had the Shekinah, the glory cloud, in it, the presence of God never inhabited it, it was also destroyed in 70 AD, not just on any random day, but on the ninth of Av. The ninth of Av this year is coming up. It begins at sundown, August the 6th, and goes into all day Sunday, August the 7th. There will be believers from all streams, all denominations, from all over the earth, from many nations, coming together for an online virtual prayer event to take time to repent on this day for all of the sins and atrocities committed against the Jewish people done in the name of Christ over the centuries. You can participate in this if you go to the website, the number 9-AV.com, and click on the Join Us button, and you can get involved and participate in that day of prayer, repentance prayer. I believe as we take that time to repent for our corporate church sins done by our church forefathers against the Jewish people, that this helps to dismantle the wall between Jews and Christians and helps to build a bridge between Jews and Christians. And ultimately, this is God's heart, because one day the two sticks of Ezekiel chapter 37, the stick of Judah, that is the Jews, and the stick of Joseph, that is the non-Jews, will become one stick in the hand of the Lord. So, this dedication prayer of this temple is tremendous. I encourage you to meditate on this, reflect on this, and ask God to give you a heart and even a vision for a third temple. There will be a third temple. It's prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, the closing chapters, Ezekiel 44, 45, 46, are all about the future third temple. And Yeshua will rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. And of course, the earthly temple is a shadow and a copy of the temple that exists now in heaven. And all the protocols that are outlined, the sacrifices, the altar, all of that, it is a copy and a shadow picture of what happens in heaven. And so this is a glimpse of heaven. The temple needs to be front and center in our thinking. We need to desire and pray for that third temple to come to pass. As we study the temple, as we pray for our future third temple, the sages of Israel say that when we study the temple, we are helping and we are participating in the rebuilding of it. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom. Numbers 29:21 to 29:40. The third day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. Fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs, in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. Fifth day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs, in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. Sixth day, 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lamb, in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libations. Seventh day, 7 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs, in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. On the eighth day, you shall hold a solemn gathering. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to Hashem, 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bull, the ram, the lambs in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. All these you shall offer to Hashem at the stated times, in addition to your votive and free will offerings, be they burnt offerings and meal offerings, libations, or offerings of well-being. So Moses spoke to the Israelites, just as Hashem had commanded Moses. Second Chronicles 8:11-10:19. Solomon brought up Pharaoh's daughter from the city of David to the palace that he had built for her. For he said, "No wife of mine shall dwell in a palace of King David of Israel, for the area is sacred, since the ark of Hashem has entered it." At that time Solomon offered burnt offerings on the altar that he had built in front of the porch. What was due for each day he sacrificed according to the commandment of Moses for the Shabbat, the new moons, and the thrice yearly festivals, the festival of Passover, the festival of Shavuot, and the festival of Sukkot. Following the prescription of his father David, he set up the divisions of the Kohanim for their duties and the Leviim for their watches to praise and to serve alongside the Kohanim according to each day's requirement, and the gatekeepers in their watches, gate by gate. For such was the commandment of David, the man of Hashem. They did not depart from the commandment of the king relating to the Kohanim and the Leviim in all these matters, and also relating to the treasuries. And all of Solomon's work was well executed from the day of the house of Hashem was founded until the house of Hashem was completed to perfection. At that time Solomon went to Etzion Geber and to Eloth on the sea coast of the land of Edom. Huram sent him, under the charge of servants, a fleet with a crew of expert seamen. They went with Solomon's men to Ophir and obtained gold there in the amount of 400 kikirim, which they brought to King Solomon. The queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame and came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, accompanied by a very large retinue, including camels bearing spices. a great quantity of gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke to him of all that she had on her mind. Solomon had answers for all of her questions. There was nothing that Solomon did not know, nothing to which he could not give her an answer. When the Queen of Sheba saw how wise Solomon was and the palace that he had built, the fare of his table, the seating of his courtiers, the service and attire of his attendants, his butlers and their attire, and the procession with which he went up to the house of Hashem, it took her breath away. She said to the king, "What I heard in my own land about you and your wisdom was true. I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes that not even the half of your great wisdom has been described to me. You surpass the report that I heard. How fortunate are your men, and how fortunate are these courtiers of yours who are always in attendance on you and can hear your wisdom. Blessed is Hashem your God, who favored you and set you on his throne as a king before Hashem. It is because of your God's love for Israel, and in order to establish them forever, that he made you king over them to execute righteous judgment." She presented the king with 120 kikirim of gold and a vast quantity of spices and precious stones. There were no such spices as those which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also, the servants of Huram and Solomon who brought gold from Ophir brought algum wood and precious stones. The king made of the algum wood ramps for the house of Hashem and for the royal palace, and lyres and harps for the musicians, whose like had never before been seen in the land of Yehuda. King Solomon, in turn, gave the Queen of Sheba everything she expressed a desire for, exceeding a return for what she had brought to the king. Then she and her courtiers left and returned to her own land. The gold that Solomon received every year weighed 666 gold kikirim, besides what traders and merchants brought, and the gold and silver that all the kings of Arabia and governors of the region brought to Solomon. King Solomon made 200 shields of beaten gold, 600 shekels of beaten gold for each shield, and 300 bucklers of beaten gold, 300 shekels of gold for each buckler. The king placed them in the Lebanon Forest House. The king also made a large throne of ivory overlaid with pure gold. 6 steps led up to the throne, and the throne had a golden footstool attached to it, and arms on either side of the seat. 2 lions stood beside the arms, and 12 lions stood on the 6 steps, 6 on either side. None such was ever made for any other kingdom. All of King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the utensils of the Lebanon Forest House were of pure gold. Silver counted for nothing in Solomon's days. The king's fleet traveled to Tarshish with Huram's servants. Once every 3 years, the Tarshish fleet came in bearing gold and silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in wealth and wisdom. All the kings of the earth came to pay homage to Solomon and to listen to the wisdom with which Hashem had endowed him. Each brought his tribute, silver and gold objects, robes, weapons, and spices, horses and mules, in the amount due each year. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and 12,000 horsemen, which he stationed in the chariot towns and with the king in Jerusalem. He ruled over all the kings from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. The king made silver as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars as plentiful as sycamores in the Shephelah. Horses were brought for Solomon from Egypt and all the lands. The other events of Solomon's reign, early and late, are recorded in the chronicle of the Navi Natan, and in the prophecies of Akiah the Silonite, and in the visions of Jado the seer concerning Jehoram son of Nebat. Solomon reigned 40 years over all Israel in Jerusalem. Solomon slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of his father David. His son Rehoboam succeeded him as king. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to acclaim him king. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, learned of it while he was in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon, and Jeroboam returned from Egypt. They sent for him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam as follows. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke that your father laid on us, and we will serve you. He answered them, come back to me in 3 days. So the people went away. King Rehoboam took counsel with the elders who had served during the lifetime of his father Solomon. He said, what answer do you counsel to give these people? They answered him, if you will be good to these people and appease them and speak to them with kind words, they will be your servants always. But he ignored the counsel that the elders gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. What, he answered, do you counsel that we reply to these people who said to me, lighten the yoke that your father laid on us? And the young men who had grown up with him answered, speak thus to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, now you make it lighter for us. Say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. My father imposed a heavy yoke on you, and I will add to your yoke. My father flogged you with whips, but I will do so with scorpions. Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, since the king had told them, come back on the third day. The king answered them harshly. Thus, King Rehoboam ignored the elders' counsel. He spoke to them in accordance with the counsel of the young men and said, I will make your yoke heavy, and I will add to it. My father flogged you with whips, but I will do so with scorpions. The king did not listen to the people, for Hashem had brought it about in order that Hashem might fulfill the promise that he had made through Akiah the Shilonite to Jeroboam son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered the king, we have no portion in David, no share in Yishai's son. To your tents, O Israel. Now return to your own house, O David. So all Israel returned to their homes. But Rehoboam continued to reign over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent out Hadoram, who was in charge of the forced labor. But the Israelites pelted him to death with stones. Thereupon, King Rehoboam hurriedly mounted his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. Israel has been in revolt against the house of David to this day. Romans 8, 9 to 21. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man has not the Spirit of Yeshua, he is none of his. And if Yeshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yeshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Psalm 18:16-36. He, the Lord, sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore has the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With an upright man you will show yourself upright. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the froward you shall show yourself froward. For you will save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. Where you will light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hind's feet and sets me upon high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has holden me up, and your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Proverbs 19:26. He that wastes his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. I'd like to speak to you from our reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 10. And this chapter is in parallel to the chapter from 1 Kings chapter 12. This is a very sad chapter to read. It basically outlines the very first kingdom split, or church split, if you will, between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the issue was taxes. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, consults with first wise elders and then his peers regarding a question that was brought before him. The people of the northern kingdom, that is the king, the house of Israel, the 10 tribes of the north, come to him and said, "Your father put a heavy load upon us. Please lighten up our load. Lighten it up." And so Rehoboam consults first with the elders, and they counsel him, and they say, "Do as they ask. Lighten up their load, and be kind to them, and they will be your loyal subjects." But then he consults with his peers, and his peers give him very bad advice. They say, "Make their load even heavier. We'll whip you with the tails of scorpions." And when he gives the people that answer 3 days later, the people answer him after hearing how the king answered the people roughly, and he rejected the advice which the elders had given to him. And he spoke to them, saying to them, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." The king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord. And so when the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king and they said, "What share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." And Israel departed to their tents. And then when the king, Rehoboam, sent Adoram, who was basically the tax collector, he was in charge of revenue, all Israel stoned him with stones and he died. And so King Rehoboam fled to Jerusalem. And here is the sad verse. The chapter concludes, "Israel has been in revolt against the house of David to this day." The church, the early church, in the early days of the apostles, after Yeshua ascended, they had Hebrew roots. They kept the Sabbath, they kept the feasts, and they followed the Torah by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. They honored the Torah. But as time went on, a couple of hundred years later, with the Council of Nicaea, there was decisions made by the early church fathers to cut themselves off from the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. And they changed the day of worship from Sabbath, that is Saturday, to Sunday. Because Sunday, after all, is sun, S-U-N, worship, not S-O-N, worship. And they completely cut themselves off from all of the biblical feasts, Passover, Sukkot, Shavuot. And there's been this wall between Jews and Christians for centuries. And in fact, many of our church forefathers, the church leaders of yesterday, were very, they persecuted the Jews. The Crusades, the Holocaust, the pogroms, all of that, a lot of our church forefathers were involved in this persecution against Jews. And I believe it all had its root in what happened here in this chapter that we read today, this very first church split or family of God split. And so the wall has been erected over the centuries, and it's going to take time and prayer and repentance to dismantle that wall and to build a bridge. So the church for centuries has been on a road, a journey, and that road leads to Rome, to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, even Protestants who broke away from the Catholic Church, they still carry many of the baggage of the Roman Catholic Church, keeping their worship day on Sunday, and lots of other baggage, keeping pagan holidays, honoring pagan holidays, such as Halloween and even Christmas, with Christmas trees in their church foyers. So there's a lot of baggage that needs to be unpacked. But what we do see is in the last 30 years and even in the last 5 years, many people in the mainstream Christian world are getting off of the road to Rome and they are returning to the road that leads back to Jerusalem, where it all started, and learning more from our brother Judah. After all, they've been following the Torah for hundreds and hundreds of years. And in the Hebrew roots world, we've only been understanding and following the Torah just in the last 2 or 3 decades. We're babes at this. We can learn from Brother Judah. Now, does that mean that we ever turn away from Yeshua, our head? Absolutely not. He is the head of the body. Yeshua is the Son of God. And Yahweh and Yeshua, they are one. The Father and the Son, they are one. But whenever I read this chapter about this original church split, family split, it makes my heart sad. And I long for the day when that breach will be healed. And it will be healed. God will do it. How he does it, when he does it, will be a great delight and a great surprise. But he does promise us that he will heal this breach. I'll share 2 passages that talk about how that's going to happen. The first is in Ezekiel chapter 37. And in Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 15, it is written, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions." So Judah is the southern kingdom, the Jews, and Joseph is the northern kingdom, the non-Jews. Verse 17, "Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, 'Will you not show us what you mean by this?' say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will become one in my hand.'" So these two sticks, these two people groups, will become one in the hand of God. That's his promise. The other place that talks about this is in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 1. And it's talking about the restoration of Israel. Hosea chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there it shall be said to them, 'You are the sons of the living God.' And then the children of Judah," that is the Jews, "and the children of Israel," that is the non-Jews, "shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land of land. They shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel." So again, we have pictured here 2 peoples becoming 1 people with 1 head. And who is that head? That head, I believe, is going to be Yeshua. So he will accomplish it. But part of the work that we have to do to prepare the way for that to happen is we need to repent. And again, I invite you to participate in the nation's ninth of Av on the 9th of Av this year, falling at sundown August the 6th and going into August the 7th, go to the website, the number 9-AV.com, and there is an online prayer event that you can participate in on Zoom. If you go to that website and click the Join Us button, you can get included in this, and they will reach out to you by email with information on how to join in on this online repentance prayer event, a global event. And this will help prepare the way for the healing of the breach, for the walls of the centuries to come down, and for the bridge to be built between the northern and the southern kingdom. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Yevarekah Adonai Vishmerekah Yayeh Adonai Panavilakah Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Ileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.